Well, it's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, David Gerwitz from Charles Nenner Research. David Gerwitz, Managing Director at Charles Nenner Research. It's 2015, and he's got all kinds of topicality for us today. Welcome back, David.
My pleasure, Mike, always, really. I look forward to speaking with you. I get ready for it. There's a lot going on, as we see, so I want to hit all the markets. So let me start with a lot of different areas, and let me tell you what we're going to talk stocks, bonds, commodities, and currencies, and we're also going to talk economic indicators, because the cycles also cover that. We did a whole piece on Sunday on deflation, and I would like your listeners to write in to our site and say, I'd like to read it. I might as well start with that. We showed charts on unemployment going back half a century, on ISM, Institute of Supply Management, which is a survey of 300 manufacturing firms on employment, inventories, orders, and deliveries. We did non-farm payroll, and we did consumer price index. And I'll read to you what the results say, but everyone should write and see the charts. They're fascinating. Unemployment cycle is going back to the mid-century of bottoming soon, meaning less job growth, meaning more unemployment. ISM actually is up until July. And we actually see the stock market with a negative move here, bouncing up into April, May, and then that's it for the whole year. It's going to be down after that. I'm giving you a big picture, and then we'll go granular as we come back. Non-farm payrolls have topped and bottomed in a year and a half. So that's the other side of unemployment. Unemployment is how many people are out of work. Payrolls, how many people working. Not working have bottomed. That makes sense. Like, we also think about what the program tells us. You know, we made a program and it says stuff. We have to think about it also. As you and I know, when we think about math, it's supposed to tell us something.
You have to interpret it, right?
We try. Well, I tell you, that's a good question, how we try not to interpret what we do, because it shows intelligence is knowing what you don't know also. And we're not that smart to say, because crude's doing this.
That's one of the interesting thing about complex systems, isn't it? You have to make an interesting assumption that I think most of the scientific community is starting to grapple with today. And that is, look, we can't know everything. When you accept that fact, that the complex system is beyond our realm of understanding, well, maybe there are indicators that will give us hints.
That is exactly right. Listen, not to sound like a religious fanatic, but if God created our brains are human brains and not his. So therefore, we do the best we can. We come up with a system. Our system is 50,000 lines of code. We tell three sets of programs. We actually have three different systems to do it. Same idea, but we figured if we would paint it with different programmers and they all do their stuff and it all lines up the same way, the odds are, however we messed it up in each way, seems to work. That's just in the cycle system. And then we do a target system. We do a point and figure system. We do a Elliott wave system. We do a candlestick system. We have all this stuff, and we hope it all lines up. Let's hold that off to the end till we have time. Maybe we'll do the next show. Let's talk about the different ways the technical analysis works, because that's not a bad conversation to have on its own. And then what we do differently, we think, is that we add the cycle and the target, because that's something other people try. I don't think they do it as well as us. Obviously, I know we have thousands of clients, so they think we're doing something right. But it's the other stuff is great, and the key is to put it all together. I make an analogy: when someone goes to a doctor, they hurt their foot. Is it sprained? The ankle, fractured, broken, bruised? The doctor takes a lot of X-rays. And he looks at them and decides. Charles is a doctor, and his attitude is, let me look at a lot of X-rays. And after looking at all of them, he has to scratch his head and figure, do all the X-rays point to this or point to that? That's kind of what we do, which tries to remove the emotion that we see in the market. You know, yesterday started to go up, and we knew, we said, buy the VIX, because it's going to be volatility. Look at today. In the last hour, VIX went up 5 points. Our system showed it. We don't know why. We actually, you know, so anyway, I'm hitting a lot of stuff at once. Let me step back. So the economic indicators indicate not such a pretty picture. Okay, that's one category of cycles called economic indicators. Then we have stocks, bonds, commodities, and currencies. And what I'd like to do is kind of go through each one and read you some of the stuff we sent out today. And as always, you listeners, I always recommend please write to the site, Charles Nenner Research, say that you heard me talking to Mike, and they should you get a free sample of the research, which goes out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, covering 11 areas, and I'll say in a second. And then we have Sunday, we do a lot of chart work, and we try within a month cover the whole world, and you get an idea of what we see going on, whatever, you know, right or wrong. So anyway, so just today, the 10-year, let's talk bonds, okay? We have a target on the TLT. We bought it. We don't buy. We don't manage money. We recommend buying it when it was 109. It got to 130. We still think it goes to 137. That's the bond fund. So that we're talking bonds. So still rates are down, right? And we have a short-term target of the 10-year at 130, 150. Someone asked a question, for instance, is a 10-year bond future known as ZN? What is the target there that corresponds to the 138 TLT target? Okay, and that we kind of answer. The VIX just went up 5%. And, you know, some people, I think everyone should really focus on the VIX.
When we're talking VIX, we're talking about volatility index. It tends to be negatively correlated with the market. So when the VIX goes up, the market, the stock market is generally dropping. Just a measure of overall volatility. Some people look to it as a fear indicator in the market. People are getting nervous. Also, I'd like to throw in here that the TLT is a regular recommendation. In fact, I've been recommending it for some time to my subscribers. And that's just your 20-year, I believe it is, long bond. So you get a little higher interest rate there. And people are kind of have a tendency to flee to it, negatively correlated with the stock market.
Yeah. Now, longer term, we think bonds are down. As we've discussed, I'll just quickly say that we can end the bond discussion. But rates 60 years ago were what they are now. 30 years ago, they were 18%. And now they're 2. And 60 years ago, they were 2. Therefore, that is a cycle from one bottom to another that was completely repetitive over a time. That's how we define cycles. It's not just the presidential cycle. It's not one cycle. What we do uniquely is to look back to find many cycles in any data series and see when they all top or bottom. And it's not easy, obviously. We called the IBM top 6-7 weeks ago. We called the crude top at 97.
We have heard now from numerous media sources and outlets that the crude oil collapse was unpredictable. There's hundreds of billions of dollars in notional derivatives tied to this, and it could have an unbelievably nefarious impact on the global economy, especially the domestic U.S., because the heartland is filled with shale and fracking projects.
Step back 5 years ago, everyone should go to the site and watch Charles on this show called, I think it's CNBC, I'm not sure, I'm only kidding. Where he was there and crude was 147. I think the real issue is memory. Crude was 147. It used to be 9. It got to 147. Charles was sitting and he goes, it's topping. We're going to have deflation. And everybody couldn't believe it because at the time crude had gone to 147 just like 3 years ago. Some other asset got to 1900, you've heard of, called gold after 11 years up. And we said, it's time to get out. Why? We don't know. Cycles are topping. So the answer to your question is cycles are the answer. And people don't want to accept that patterns from the past repeat so that something that happened 50 years ago, if it happened 40, 30, 20, and 10, and then the same thing every 5 and every 2, and they all line up now, which is what happened with crude, it was a top. It doesn't mean level is the same. Because think about it, all those tops occurred at different levels. So by definition, to calculate level is a whole nother world, as you and I have talked about. And we do it based on quantum physics and the decay in the trajectory of shooting a bullet out of a gun, because we actually assume, as crazily as it is. So the answer is, if it's happening in the world, why is it not happening in market? And that's our assumption. Until you prove me wrong, that's the assumption. That seems to be how we're able to predict targets that we have no idea why it happened. Fed funds, he called from 6 to 0. How could that be? He said he was shocked that the system would do it. So anyway, crude topped based on long-term cycles. We have cycles going back 100 and some odd years because that's all we have crude. We don't have crude 500 years. They didn't start drilling, right? So we have that, and it was a top, and we called it at 97. Our first target down, believe it or not, was 65. It got to 65. Also, the system doesn't call everything in one shot. You know, football team, football, right? I'm also, you don't move up the field in one pass. You pass, you get a touchdown, you get, you know, you get 10 yards, you get a first go down, you go again. Our system works the same way. That's what technical analysis is. It gets to a spot and it revamps. So crude, believe it or not, we actually had a target of 120, right? Assuming. Then it got knocked down here, and so we have a $50 target, then a $60, then a $70. If it gets past $70, we're going to go to 120. I don't know if it'll get past 70. We're not sure. We're happy to admit that. We're not sure. But the fact we call the top means the system's telling us something. And right now, we think it's going to bounce. And we did call the top. And then to say why something happened, I don't believe anybody could ever say that, including us. We don't know why something happened. But you're completely correct that what's happening in the world because of this is going to destroy a bunch of hedge funds. You got Russia in a complete turmoil. It's something that who could plan this? Not a shot is fired, and yet you've got this knockdown. Now, war cycles have bottomed, and so we do predict. Here's where a trying to put the pieces together, which we admit we're not so good at. If wars keep going up and someone blows up, you know, and therefore that could cause crude to go up. 6 years ago, Michael, when the stock market in the summer of 2008 tanked, in the beginning of 2009, Charles was on Bloomberg saying, and everyone was praying crude would go up because it would be an indication of economic activity. Now, I guess people are feeling the same way. Like, I want crude to go up because it'll mean something. But in one sense, nowadays, if it goes up so fast, people would say it's probably war. So we don't know how to say A implies B there. We just know cycles, meaning top to tops in any data series, called it, and we're expecting a bounce now.
If you think back to the last bottom there that occurred after the 2008 collapse, a few months before a really solid floor was in place. Don't you agree?
Yeah. It was in the 30s then, and then and then we called it up into the 100 range. And so here's where we're holding, basically, according to us, who've called two major tops in crude. Not bad, right? We don't know. We don't know if it gets to the targets we go to. If it gets past 70, it's going to 120. What's going to cause that? What caused it to go from 100 to 50? I don't know. I mean, you could put all the reasons, but we think it's cycles. And that bothers people because it means we don't have free choice. And that bothers people. Everyone thinks they could figure out. I've told this story before, but I want to say it again. Nat gas, when it went from 12 to 6 5 years ago, everybody thought it was going to go back up, and we predicted it would go to 2. And it went to 2. And what happened was the Canadian banks lent the Western Canadian nat gas producers a lot of money when it was $6. And it went to $5. And it went to $4. And I guess, you know, you have a house that's underwater. Companies have loans underwater. Banks make loans to companies, and the value of the company goes way down below loan value. That's called underwater, too. So they have a meeting, go, we better get our money back. How do you get it back? Sell more of your product. So the Canadian banks forced the Western Canadian oil producers nat gas producers to pump more. Price kept coming down because the market got flooded. And the newspaper said, prices go down in nat gas due to bank forced selling. And we think that's not true. We think cycles topped and the set of events happened that led to that. That's kind of the way everything works according to our system. Stocks also, last week cycles topped and bottomed, and so we called the top and bottom. We don't know why.
People hear, well, we don't know why. It turns a lot of people off, but there's a growing cadre of folks who recognize maybe it is the height of presumptuousness, it's the height of arrogance to think that we can know why in real time.
Exactly. Mike, I'll tell you the word for wisdom in Hebrew. I'll say it in, it's called chachma, right? Koya, and if you break it into two pieces, it's koachma, which means the power of a question. Wisdom means I'm asking, I don't know. And that's kind of what we think. I mean, Charles, no dummy. I mean, it's not one of the dumbest people walking around the world. He came up with this system by asking a question when his professor in medical school, I think I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, professor in medical school in 1980 said, people, there are more doctors put on during full moons because women give birth more often there. And that seems to make sense. A implies B. If you think about a full moon affecting women's birth cycles, that makes sense. Then a week later, he goes, people get admitted to insane asylums all around the world at the same time. And Charles, who knew nothing about the stock market, he was a guy that advised everyone at Goldman Sachs for 15 years. He knew nothing. He's in medical school. He said, why is that? Is it during a full moon? Then maybe that explains it. The professor said, no, we don't know why people in Buenos Aires and people in Singapore and people in Helsinki get admitted to insane asylums at the same time. We know they do. Charles comes to New York. He watches Neil Cavuto on a show 30 years ago. At the beginning, there were no big news shows then. There wouldn't be a Goldseek 30 years ago. There was no internet, right? So he's watching this guy say IBM top because of this. And Charles is pretty questioning. He goes, how do you know why top? IBM top because earnings came. So he went to New York Library, and he saw old New York Wall Street Journal. He went back 10, 20, 30 years, he asked the librarian there, and by hand he started calculating top to tops. He said, oh, they're all top, they're all bottoming now, that's why IBM's going up. And sure enough, that's how the business got started, by stumbling on based on A implied B. The professor said this, and then Neil Cavuto said that. And so that's how he came up with this system. So you think he's going to walk around saying, I figured it out? He stumbled on it. And it's the height, just like you say, it's the height of hubris to think that people could figure out why. Now, there's some brilliant people out there who see stuff. Some of these huge managers, there's some very brilliant people out there. And, you know, you look at some of these sovereign wealth funds. We have some of them as clients. They don't want to know anything other than what's going to happen 2 years from now. There's, you know, $200 billion, $100 billion. You know, a lot of it's been made with crude in Europe, there's a certain, in the Far East. And so it's the world doesn't want to accept, in our opinion, the fact that things repeat from the past. And now Keynes is a big thing. Keynes even saying when you can't do quantitative easing when rates are 2%. It's like pushing against a rope. And that's something we wrote in our report. So I recommend everybody to write in and see what we wrote about on Sunday about that. So we really have a bit of a mess coming.
A little anecdote. Keynes, not the best trader in the world. His fortunes, you might say, gyrated like a pendulum. So maybe not the best forecaster.
Well, there was a guy named Gann. So we have part of our system uses Gann cycles.
I don't doubt it. Gann, a very interesting fellow. He was in the Midwest, and he amassed a huge fortune, came from dirt farmers, and amassed something like a $50 million fortune just trading using interesting cycles. You might say he squared the circle.
Literally, that's what he did. Again, this is another not-too-minute conversation we could have about how Gann works. I mean, we've studied it. I don't understand it. Charles says, I don't understand it. I mean, some people do. We somehow explained it to some programmers. It's incorporated into the system. It's one of the pieces we use. It's complicated stuff, you know, and it's not easy, but thank God it's usually right. So we're very grateful all the time. I know, you know, I was a ball player, you know, I was a big basketball, baseball player. And so the guys who played are still kids. You know, I'll be 60 this year, but I still feel like I'm 12. And every basketball court I drive by, I still want to go play. Even though I'm a musician, I don't play. So Charles will call me sometimes at 4:15. He goes, you see, you went right to the target. And I said, you're still 10 years old. You still think this is fun. And that's kind of why, you know, we like doing what we're doing, because it's still a game that's an unfinished painting.
I'd love to hear him speak, Charles Nenner, with Arch Crawford. He put out an awful lot of interesting research to understand why these cycles work. Arch, of course, believes that there is an astronomical component to this. His big philosophy, and I'll keep it brief, human emotions are affected by the ebb and flow of the solar wind, radiation that emanates from our star. And this solar flow, as you were alluding to earlier, the lunar cycles affecting lunacy, that's where we get our term lunacy, put out some interesting physics information.
By the way, just on that note, again, we agree that sunspots affect people's brains because it affects the water in our brains. Now, who wants to talk about this stuff other than you and me? Now, thank God people are listening to us. I hope they're cracking up when they hear this, go, you know, these guys are nuts, but they're interesting, you know. But we're trying to put it down on helpful things such as the stock market, which we think after April is going to be a mess, and the bond market, which we think will continue to be strong, like we've called, and then that will also top, and then all of a sudden you scratch your head and go, if stocks are bad and bonds are bad, what am I going to do? And again, I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, let's go to 1981. We're now 34 years later. Stock market was 1,000. I was just finished, I just graduated business school, NYU. Stock market was 1,000, it took off. It's now 18,000, 17 the Dow. The Dow's up 17 times in 34 years. Bonds were 18%, and now they're 2. So bonds have gone up in value, down in rates. So if you want to say they both can't go together, they did, right? Now, but they didn't always, because in 87, stocks decided to take a detour from 125th Street down to the bottom of Manhattan. Happened in 94, less so. Happened in 2000, happened 2000. We think, I don't think it'll be the same thing this year, but it's certainly a seven-year cycle. Right into the site and get the research, because the answer is, no, the bottom line is it's going to be tempestuous, which is why, that's a good word, I haven't used that in a while, which is why the VIX is something people should get comfortable with. Also, the VIX is owned by the CBOE, Chicago Board, and that itself is a stock that people should consider buying. And yeah, because that's making a ton of money. That takes care of stocks. And not all stocks are going to go bad when things go bad, because there's certain drug stocks that are going to take off. We see the drug index not doing so poorly. And the food, longer term, corn is up, although it's topping now. We did a study last week, coffee. I think people should trade coffee, not just drink it, because we seem to call it right. And cocoa, coffee, we've been nailing for 4 years. Why? I have no idea. The VIX we've been nailing, and it's interesting, the VIX targets have been working better than the VIX cycles. Why? We don't know. But we're happy to say we don't know, but they work, right? So anyways, that takes care of stocks and bonds. And gold, we have not spoken about gold. So let me give you gold. The answer is, let me give you gold, we think... It's been on a bit of a buy signal here. We have two other targets I'll give you in a second. We don't think it goes past 1450 this year, which would be good for people. I mean, I don't think good. If people bought it now, it wouldn't be such a bad trade. You know, we called the top 3 years ago. This bottom has started in July. We're now 6 months into a bottoming process, and we're just still not ready to take off yet. That's, you know, that's because we thought it was taking off. We were wrong. But the good news is when we're wrong, we have a stop in, and most of the time we're not in unless we feel comfortable. So we don't have the depressed feeling a lot of people have who are in losing positions, which is part of the reason why we like the cycle work. Stand aside unless you feel comfortable, which a lot of people, especially in Canada and Australia, do for gold and silver because, you know, they believed in it. I'm not that smart. So our attitude is if cycles are topping, get out. If they're bottoming, you can get in with a stop and you don't have to worry. And you're not like you're losing money by not putting it in the bank, which is not paying you anything now. So let me go a little more granular with the gold story. So I'll give you more details now. You people can listen and you'll see what you would get in the research. Gold reached our upside short-term target at 1230. Yesterday was a short-term cycle top for gold, but the buy signal continues and we could see 1245. As long as there's no close below 1214. The research is written mostly shorter term. Silver is on a buy signal near our upside target of 1710. Short-term cycles bottom put the stop loss up to 1625. So that's kind of the... And the longer picture, long, we think it goes back to its highs. So that's the good news. But shorter term, you're going to... deflation, you know? So that takes care of gold and silver. Copper we wrote about today. Let me discuss copper because that's something... So let me read you copper. We cover a lot of stuff. You know, we really do. Copper. I'm the editor, but I don't remember it. Copper, also called Dr. Copper, leading indicator for economic inflation and deflation. With all the excitement I put this in and concentration over falling crude prices, it's important to look further than crude to see that there's something more serious happening with the economy. We gave a sell signal for copper around 310. Since then, it never generated a buy. While shorter-term cycles are close to a low, we can still see 235 before bottoms in place, while a close above 277 is needed to cancel the sell signal. Sell signal doesn't mean go short. Buy signal doesn't mean go long. It just means don't be the other way. Then, depending on your trading abilities, You want to favor being long and favor being short, but sell signal is a whole other discussion, what that means. You know, if Thaz is a client, so everybody has different abilities, different risk tolerances. So they just use our levels within other things they use as a kind of overlay to them. But copper also has been down. So now we haven't talked currencies, but, you know, I appreciate you giving me the floor. The euro is still under pressure, but we have a downside target of 116.75. I'm reading in today's research, and near a short-term cycle low, close above 119, needed to cancel. Longer term, we still think it goes back to 110. The dollar is topping. The DXY is topping. Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about this for a year and a half. We predicted Q2 major top for the dollar. We called this 2 years ago.
Well, the irony is you are bumping up against the last resistance level. If you look at the monthly chart, it impacts a lot of different areas of people's and portfolios. And I've said, look, you know, we have seen an equally abrupt and steep climb for about, let's see, this is the third time now in 5 or 6 years. There's a precedent here.
Right. Although we go back further than that. Because, like, we don't do Facebook because we don't have enough data. But on the dollar index, we go back, you know, many, many decades. Although the dollar index hasn't been a long... Again, it's a complicated thing how we even do that. But let me keep reading the currencies we have so people can get an idea. The Aussie's sell signal, as long as there's no close above 82.50, we called the Aussie and the Canadian when they were 68 5 years ago to go to par, which they did. The Canadian, in order to see more strength, we need to close below $117 Canadian. And so now that crude has, we think, near a bottom, even if it may go down to 45, if the Canadian cycles are bottoming and crude cycles are bottoming, those are two good trades. Now, the commodity currency, quote-unquote, that the Canadian is, again, it's not always the case, but generally is that if crude's going lower, the Canadian's lower. And if crude's going up, the Canadian's going up because there's so much, you know, crude pumped there. Now, you could say, you know, but can you say because so much oil's been pumped from America, that's the reason the dollar went up? It's too complicated. I mean, we, for some reason, Charles has discovered, which I think is amazing, price is all we use. We don't use all this other stuff. And that's something that we get yelled at all the time when we talk with all these techies about, you need more data in movies, and we go, price decides. This is tough stuff to think. And then I'll tell you, let me add one other thing. I have to leave in about 6 minutes. Let me just give you, I don't know how many of your listeners are American and non-American. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. So we have an awfully global client base. That's why I don't sleep. Because at night is the Far East and the morning's Europe and whatever. So Americans don't generally feel comfortable with currencies because what do they know? They know the dollar, right? So I'm always convincing the American people, like, the euro. You know, and how do I trade it? I don't really know it. And I always say, well, don't assume you know the other stuff, you know, because so that's one thing people should always be thinking currencies as trades. This year in particular, it could be some of the best trades. Now, at night, did they go to sleep thinking I got 20% of my money on a currency trade? I mean, it's hard to go to sleep. And I understand the psychological piece of this is very debilitating, and that's why we think if cycles are being followed and they put stops in, they could sleep. So that's the overview. The Europeans think differently. The Far East think differently. The Brazilians think differently. The South Americans think differently. Even though we think everybody knows a lot of stuff, and then also I think there's information overload. I think the fact that screens are flashing all day in people, they don't think straight anymore. And then they have CNBC on, which, you know, okay, I don't have to say anything. It's not guiding your trading, your thinking. It's just information that I think people need to step back and really think a little more. And it's very hard. I'm noticing it over and over. People are feeling very pressured that they can't keep up with everything. And the answer is the pressure's off. You can't keep up with everything. So cut back on the amount of input from media. And like we think we're eliminating the noise by taking a historical perspective in every data series called stocks, bonds, commodities, and currencies. That's all we're doing. And we think, and it seems to be right. Lately, we've been very right. I mean, even the system is a system, so no system's going to be right all the time by definition. It's human-based. But there are times it's better. We happen to be very hot in a lot of stuff. Now, I highly recommend people, you know, follow it. But, you know, that's kind of it. I think I'm done, you know. Write to the site, Charles Netta Research. Say we, you know, maybe we can help people avoid the trouble and avoid being on a bad trade. Much more important, you know, Charles is Dutch. Dutch have a mentality of you got to survive because their country's underwater. Yeah, he's explained this to me. People don't understand this. The wooden shoes come from the fact it's watery, so that you can't wear shoes in certain areas. Otherwise, the wet will just destroy your shoes. I never knew that. I'm a kid from the Bronx. What do I know about the Dutch? Other than they have a funny accent, you know, and they used to own Manhattan.
Yeah, but did you and know that Wall Street, the term Wall Street, comes from the Dutch settler?
Yeah, as he reminds me all the time. You know, we're still the ones that, I said, yeah, we ripped you off for $24, you know, or whatever it was, you know. That was the Indians. That was the Indians. That was before. So, you know, I deal with a lot of Dutch also. It's kind of funny to understand. But so that's a mentality of Dutch, is they don't want to lose because their country is underwater, literally, and they've had to build a whole embankment around it. And it's a flat country as well. So that's his mindset.
They're masters of land reclamation. The Army Corps of Engineers in New Orleans have learned quite a lot from the efforts in the Netherlands. Since we need to wrap up, tell our listeners more about Nenner Research, the services that you all provide, and how they can get in touch with you all to sign up if they'd like, or at least peruse some of the latest information.
Great. So Google Charles Nenner. There'll be a site that it will come, hit the site. It'll say click here, I think. I don't even remember. And then it'll come into us, and we'll get on a list of people getting the update, which covers all the stuff we just talked about, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and charts on Sundays. We'll be in touch with the different subscription options. We have clients all over the world. We have all types of clients. We don't manage money, which really makes it much easier, because a lot of times they'll say don't do anything. Most managers don't think like that. They have assets, and they often feel forced to do stuff. I have a lot of broker clients who say their clients push them to do stuff. I think it's a mistake, you know, but because if the clients are pushing them and then the brokerage house is pushing them, which they are pushed, they get conflicting signals there. A lot of times we say stand on the sidelines. So that's our point of view, but you know, we have a lot of clients, and they're happy with the service, and this is something Charles used to write at this place called Goldman Sachs, so I think it's pretty good. And I'm editing it, so I turn his Dutch English into a Bronx English, and hopefully it'll be, you've seen it, so you know what it's like, and I look forward to the next conversation we have about other types of technical analysis that I think people can at least hear and appreciate all the tools that we have to look at to come up with an amalgam so that we can decide based on everything the most likely forecast for each particular area stock, bond, commodity.
Look forward to hearing from you as well as Charles Nenner.
Okay, fantastic.